Thankful to be in Ohio again. Been thinking to last few days about the value of freedom. And as July 4th comes on, what goes through your mind? And I have to kind of admit, as I think about it, mine's been pretty shallow. It's a day off from work. And I read an article where they said about $1 billion is spent on fireworks for the 4th of July. So I look forward to a day off of work and watching other people spend their money and get to watch their fireworks that they shoot off. And that's about my level of July the 4th. You know what? The value of freedom goes much deeper than that. I was thinking of this. It's easy for us to forget. Sometimes we need to remember the past. July 4th, 1776, almost 250 years ago, Declaration of Independence said, Continental Congress declared that the 13 colonies were no longer subject to the monarch of Britain and were now free and independent states. What does freedom mean? Freedom. I now get to do whatever I want. Nobody can tell me what to do now because I'm free. Was that true? Very shortly after that came some rules for free people to follow. It was called the Constitution. And you know, we're hearing a lot about the Constitution now, almost 250 years later. Supreme Court justices, we're hearing quite a bit about them. And as I read about them, I saw this. You know what their duty is? To guard and interpret the Constitution. Not to make laws, but to go the laws that are made, to go back and with an unbiased opinion, try to go back and say, 250 years ago, what did they mean when they put this in the Constitution? Thought about the children of Israel. When they crossed the Red Sea, they were a free people. Could they say, we're free? Nobody can tell me what to do. What did God do just in a few days at Mount Sinai? For a free people, he gave some instructions, some thou shalts and thou shalt nots. You know, that comes with freedom. There are some rules to follow. And you know, when you read the book of Leviticus, you find out it wasn't just 10 commandments that were given. It was a whole lot of commandments was given. One of those commandments, God to the children of Israel, I thought about this. They're a free people now. They have been in bondage for many, many years in Egypt. But now they're a free people. But I would like to start with a verse over in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, because this was kind of interesting to me. The tables have now turned, and they're in a place where they're free people. In fact, they have their own servants now. And God gives them some instructions of what to do. So 5 and 13, he's talking about on the Sabbath day, I want you to rest. But then he goes on down and says the 7th and 14th verse, the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, thy daughter, manservant, maidservant. They're going to rest. They're supposed to rest just like you are. And look at this next verse. Remember, 15th verse, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. What do we find over in the New Testament? Do unto others as you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Tables have turned now. The children of Israel are no longer down in Egypt. They're on the slave side of it. Instead, they have some servants working for them. And God's telling them, you remember how it was when you were a servant, and probably how you would have liked for Pharaoh to have treated you. And you do that same thing for servants. Because you remember when the memory goes back, when Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. And after a few of those times, Pharaoh caught on and said, I'll tell you what, I think y'all have too much spare time on your hands. I think you need to not only make the same amount of bricks every day, but you need to also go out and get your straw every day, and you'll be punished if you don't. So it was something for them to remember. But you know how easy it is for them to forget what it was like in Egypt. There came a time where they forgot all about how hard the taskmaster was. And they came to a point that all they could remember, we remember some good cucumbers that was back there. There were some onions, some garlics, there were some things back there that we would just be willing to go back for, forgetting that the baby boys were killed, Moses just happened to be spared, forgetting those things. Does that have anything to do with us today? You know, there are some things that I need to remember. Maybe not just the July the 4th, but I think throughout my year, I need to remember something. We sing this song sometimes. I was in bondage in Egypt's dark night, but Jesus has brought me out into the light. He banished my sins. He's made my heart right. I'll never go back. And it stresses it over and over and over. I'll never go back to the bondage of sin. I'll never go back to the place I was in. A crown of rejoicing I'm striving to win. I'll never go back again. And you know what keeps us from wanting to go back? We need to remember the taskmaster. You know, even Moses said there's pleasures in sin, but they're for a season. And there's also a payday for that. So for me to be able to say, as I look back, I'm not remembering the cucumbers and the onions and the good things back there, but remember the taskmaster. We ought to look back and remember the price that it cost Eve for disobedience. You know, that price has passed down to us today because of a choice that was made back then. We have a lot of people in America tomorrow will be popping fireworks and saying, we are free. And so much bondage is going on today. That Satan has taken control. But what I'm interested in today is that I enjoy the freedom that has come to me. Here's another song. I am drinking at the fountain. Where I'm making a choice here, where I ever would abide. I've tasted life's pure river and my soul is satisfied. You know what the world can call with all of its allurements? They can wonder, why do you live the life that you live? There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. What was the cost for our freedom? There's another song. Just suppose that God searched through heaven and he couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. You know, I need to have not just on one day like July the 4th think about the freedom that we have in Christ. I need to throughout the year remember the price that was paid for me to be able to have freedom so that when sin abounds, grace can much more abound and I can be a partaker of it. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man who's called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. So I thought about the children of Israel and the cycles that they went through. We can read about them. A time when God is walking so close to them. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the first half of that chapter tells of all the blessings that he will pour out on them. And at the very first couple verses, it tells how that will happen if you obey my commandments. The 28th chapter does not just end with blessings. About halfway down in the chapter, maybe about the 15th verse or so, it says two little words, but if. And you put those two words together, but if you don't follow my commandments, then almost all of the things that would have been a blessing, he named the same things but named that they would also be a, they would be a curse in your life. You wouldn't have those things. Where he can cause your crops to multiply, he can also cause there to come a locust and cause those crops to be gone. He has done that in times past. So I thought of those, the up and down experiences. Remember, and then they would call out to God, and he would answer, and he would come in and deliver them. They would have, seemed like a very short period of time that they would be living for him, and he was there working for them, and then they go back to serving idols again. That was their history. But you know, there came a promise one day. Over in Daniel, the second chapter, is a promise that was made. And if that promise were made to you at one of those times when you're in captivity, what would you look forward to out in the future? Daniel 2 and 44. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom that'll never be destroyed. The kingdom should not be left to other people. It'll break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. So if you had that to read about as you're going through some of those times of captivity and wondering, what is that going to look like? And then you happen to go over to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and you see this verse over in the 6th verse. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there, we heard about peace this morning. The increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon this kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So when we look at those things, and they started looking at what is that going to look like out in the future, I'm looking for that time to come. And it came on down to the point where now they're ruled by the Romans, and they're still desiring, still got these promises in the Bible. He's going to set up a kingdom that'll never be removed. And we come down to now Jesus comes. The chief priests even knew about those promises that were in the Bible. They had some expectations of what would come to them. You know, kind of like I can have some expectations of what Christ will be in my life. You know, a lot of times what I'd like to use Christ for is keep me from troubles. I don't want problems in my life. I would like for him to be available that at any time I can call on him, and now I have no troubles. That's really what the children of Israel were looking for. We would like to have no trouble. We have this promise that there's coming someone who is going to rule, and we're looking forward to that. And then here came Jesus, born in a manger. As humble a person as you could find, and they rejected it. And you remember when he looked out over Jerusalem and he wept, is because he had a peace for them. And that peace would be in the middle of the troubles that were going on in their life, they could have a peace and a calmness. You know, there were people before Jesus ever came that were able to walk close enough to God that they had that kind of a contact. How could Joseph, in the 13 years that he was in captivity, the 13 years that he was a slave or in prison, those kind of times, how could he keep an attitude to where when he finished that up, he didn't have a list of people that I'm going to straighten this up with as soon as I get out of here, I'm going back to make it even up with them. Instead, what he did, even when he saw his brothers, he said, don't be upset with yourself. It wasn't you that put me here. It was God that put me here. You know what? For us to be able to have the peace that we heard about this morning, it's going to take me doing the same thing in my life. The things that God allows to happen in my life, I can have an expectation of how I think it ought to be. There were some expectations that even was in Jesus' time. I'd like to look at a couple of them. They can also affect us. Over in Matthew, the 17th chapter, Jesus is coming into a place, 17 and 24. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" Now, you know, we couldn't blame the Romans with this tax collecting. This was done for the care of the temple. And Jesus says in the 25th verse, he saith, yes. And when he was come in the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said to him, of strangers. You know, Jesus could have started right then into a speech about how this is not right for them to be expecting us to have to pay even money for the temple tax. But he didn't do that. What did he say? Lest we should offend them. And that's where he said, go out to the sea, cast a hook, catch the first fish, and in his mouth will be enough money to take care of that. You know, he didn't use a couple chapters in Matthew to tell us how bad the government was, or really how bad they were even taking care of things in the temple. You know, it's really a kind of a caution for me today, because I can get caught up in some things that cause me to lose the peace that Jesus said I came to bring you. And it can be over some of those similar things. Because if we look over at Matthew 22, this comes down a little bit closer to us, to home, 22 and 17. Some things that can cause us to lose our peace. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And Jesus perceived their wickedness, and he said, show me the tribute money. They brought it unto him, a penny. He said, whose is this image and superscription? They said, Caesar's. He said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God's. You know, he could have given about a chapter there of how bad it was to be under Roman rule and how they should not be taxing us the way they're taxing us. But instead, to be able to have peace, if I follow his instruction, what I can do is have peace in the middle of all that. You remember he said, if you had only known the peace that you could have had when he looked out over Jerusalem, you know, that peace would have been with all of the tribulation that was around them. Inside, they could have had that peace that Jesus came to bring. And we can have the same thing for us today. Jesus did not come to stop all of the injustices. But what he did come to do was to change my heart to where I would be able to have the right attitude when those things come my way. In John, in the 8th chapter, 8 and 31, in the 31 and 32, then Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know what? Knowing the truth can also set us free. And we can still be ruled by a government around us that we don't agree with. And we can still be free. But look at this verse in the 33rd. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye should be made free? You ever think of that verse? I wonder, how could they have done that? They have Roman soldiers all around them. They're in captivity right now. And they're saying, we have never been in bondage. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were in bondage many times where God allowed someone to take them over again. And here's something that I've thought about for myself. You know, it's easy for me to say, I'm saved today. I'm not in bondage to anything. You know, we can be in bondage to attitudes, because the devil knows what will work for each one of us. He won't try to get us in bondage to sin. He doesn't to me. But you know what? There's a thought process that I have. Thoughts can come into my mind and I can dwell on them and get an attitude, unforgiveness. And you know, the freedom that he wanted to bring to me covered those areas too. He didn't really come to cause there to be no trouble around me. What he came for was in the middle of all those troubles, I could, like Daniel. You know, Daniel, maybe he knew I'll never get out of captivity. But yet, I believe he had a peace. Remember how he could open his windows and pray toward Jerusalem 3 times a day? What did it say what was his prayer? He said he prayed with some thanks. And what kind of thanks would you have when you got troubles all around you? I believe his thanks was that he realized God came down here with me. He didn't stay in Jerusalem. He's right here with me. He'll be with me should I go to the lion's den. And that same thing can be for all of us today. And you know what? If I'm not careful, I can kind of be like the Jews were. I'm disillusioned with who I expected Jesus to be in my life. I wanted him to just deliver me from my troubles. If I'm going to be a Christian, I'd like to have no troubles. I would like for everyone to agree with me. I would like to have no problems. And he allows problems to come to us. He said something to Pilate over in the 18th verse. And we need to remember that in 36, 18 and 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." You know what? I need to remember this as I go through life and difficulties start coming to me. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm just moving through this life, heading to another country, our heavenly country. This is just for the time being. And for us to be able to realize, I got to make it. I have got to keep my attitude right. I've got to let God, you know, he's got a freedom for us today. And that's with the government being in the shape that it's in. We're in a time where evil is good and good is evil. Light is considered darkness and darkness is considered light. And you know, right in the middle of all that, there's a place where I can still have freedom, the value of freedom that Christ came to give. When he said that, "To whom the Son shall make free, he will be free indeed." And that's with troubles all around. And he showed us that by the example that he gave us. If you were in prison, what would be your one request? As I said, you can have one request. What would you like to have? Deliverance. I want out of here. And you know, I saw a word. It's called recidivism. That's a big old word. But when I read what it means, it's the likelihood of a person getting out of prison and turning around and going right back into it again because they haven't been delivered. They just were released and there wasn't a change. You know, I am so glad that Jesus came to bring deliverance to the inside of a person, that I would be able to do like he did. Paul, when he was in prison, he didn't spend a couple chapters in each of the books that he was writing to the churches about how bad they were treating him. In many of those places, he said, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, God has allowed me to be in this place." You know, that's really what Joseph was saying. God has allowed me to be in this place. That's how he was able to keep his attitude right when God was blessing him with Potiphar. Then he was done wrong and put into prison for some years. And he was able to still look at others and the needs that they had and be able to give to them. Folks, it's going to be real important for us today. The freedom that Jesus came to bring us is that in the middle of all this trouble around us, we can still have an attitude that I want to be able to be a help to other people. So those places where Jesus was given instruction, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. You remember where Peter was saying, "Lord, how often should I forgive?" And seven times, and that would be quite a bit of forgiveness to do seven times. But he said 70 times seven. In other words, "Lord, help me to have a heart of forgiveness. Because there's something else that'll come in place if I don't have that heart of forgiveness. And that is, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you." And you know what? At the time that it does that, I have no ability then to be able to be a help to other people. Several years ago, and I think this message is still online today, Sister Maxine Busby preached a message at Monarch on forgiveness and unforgiveness. It was maybe the most serious message I've heard about this, because she used a song that we sing about a choice that I make of turning away from sin, turning away from Satan. Here's the song. I will part with thee, O Master. This is my firm resolve. You know, really the bottom line of it, it is Satan, but he comes in different forms. And what she used was this song right here for unforgiveness. I have made up a decision. I'm turning away from you. And you know that song has several little pieces in it. I have served thee long and faithful. I have had wrongs come to me through my life, and I harbored them, and I cultivated them, and they stayed with me. You know, we can read of people that it followed generation. It became generational. This trouble was passed down to my children, and they had unforgiveness, and it moved on down. But as she was reading this song, the wages of sin is death. She said, the wages of unforgiveness is death. You know, it'll have the same effect to me. And you know what? There were times when I could look at that. I guess maybe the reason it has such an impact is because I found it had a little root in me. You know, it's easy for me not to call it unforgiveness. I can just call it, they did me wrong. And you know, if I just released it so fast, they wouldn't even realize they did me wrong. So I just harbor it and I think about it and it grows. Find out I'm the captive. There's a verse over in Romans, I believe she used this. Because you know what, we're interested in our nation having freedom. Don't think the kind we're wanting is going to be happening. But I also want to have freedom in my soul. And this says in Romans the 6th chapter. Romans 6 and 16. Because you know what? These things are a choice. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? I choose. I do not want to be a servant to unforgiveness. When something happens in my life, one thing I'd like to do is, my desire is to go to heaven. These are some things that will keep me from having freedom in my life. I want to go to heaven. And Jesus brought it on down this close when he said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Now, you know, that's kind of like the verse that tells me to get up in the morning and provide for my household, because if I don't, I'm worse than an infidel. You know, those are some pretty strong scriptures. And so when Jesus tells me, Dan, I tell you what, call it what you want to, but if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. I say, Lord, help me. I want to have the freedom in my life that Jesus had intended to give to the Jews when he looked out over Jerusalem and realized they weren't going to accept it. He had the freedom that they could be free inside and yet pay into Caesar what Caesar said he wanted. You know, we have to deal with that ourselves. To keep a little root of bitterness, something springing up inside that could trouble us and we'd be defiled. So it comes down to, Jesus said this in John 14 and 30, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You know the verse where it talks about when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks about in dry places seeking rest and finding none. And he decides, I'm going to come back and see what's the condition of the house that I just left. And it says he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. And he goes out and he gets some things worse than himself and comes back in. And it says the last state of that man is worse than the first. I do not want that to be the testimony that Jesus has of me when I walk out of here. And to do that, I've got to work on this verse right here that Jesus did. The prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. You know what? To be able to do that, I can't judge myself. Because it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, and if I'm not careful, I will justify where I am. You remember the verse in Psalms 139, 23 and 24. It's an open invitation. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And you know what? It may not be there today. It may be just starting as a little root that can grow to one day. You know, I'm desperate to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so I'd like to open myself to the Lord as, Lord, you even had for the children of Israel, the Jews in Jerusalem in captivity. You said you had a peace that you had wanted to give them, but they weren't going to be able to, they were not willing to receive it. You know, we can have that same peace today. And it does not depend on how we're treated, how wrongly we're treated. It's the peace that Jesus said, "I came to bring it to you." It's not the same kind that the world would give you. There is a song that we sing. "'Tis a kingdom of peace. It is reigning within. It's possible for it to ever increase in my soul. And we can possess it right here. When he saves from all sin. And it'll last while the ages shall roll. And it'll keep me from looking back into Egypt and saying, the things that I do remember are the fish and the cucumbers and the garlics. I don't think about what Satan has done to homes and breaking them up and all the trouble that he has caused. I don't remember that. I just remember the pleasures in sin. That's not what this is talking about. What a pleasure in life it is bringing. What assurance and hope ever bright. Oh, what rapture and bliss are awaiting. As we're thinking about freedom tomorrow, let's also remember the value of freedom in my soul. Oh, what rapture and bliss are awaiting when our faith shall be lost in the sight. There's another song. Let worldly minds the world pursue. They have no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free. I am thankful for the freedom that we can have. That's song number 81. I'd like for us to sing it in closing. Because it also, you know, all of this freedom is about a choice that I make. Whether I will be free or whether I will not. And it says here, creatures no more divide my choice. I bid them all depart. His name, his love, his gracious voice have fixed my roving heart. Then it says, free, free, free. What would it be to be able to down inside of me, 2022, with all the trouble where sin abounds? I'm so glad it says grace can much more abound. Right in this day and time, we can have freedom in our soul, and I'm thankful for that. This world has now no charms for me, for Christ has set me free. I am very thankful for that. In our day and time, it still extended us the same as he extended it to Jerusalem when he reached out there. They had trouble. They were expecting some kind of deliverance. In my life, I would like to have the same kind of deliverance they were expecting. I would like to have all good things come into my life. But I also want to realize that with the troubles that can come in my life, he has peace for me. And I'm thankful for that. I desire your prayers.